Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. Today on The Ether, it's Jimmy's Cosmos, Safe Moon, Maxi Space. Let's take a listen.
I've never kicked you out. I've never said anything to kick you out.
I'm just saying it to create drama for no reason.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
So what are you? Are you an actual dev? Or do you just host spaces?
I just host spaces. I'm not a dev. I wish I was. I wish
do
I was.
Do you get paid to host these spaces? I'm trying to figure out how to get paid to host these spaces.
It's kind of complicated. We don't get paid per se, but Osmosis does give us like a small amount, just kind of like as a small sponsorship for onboarding people to Osmosis. But it's very, very little. Like right now it's like probably like less than $100 for the team.
That's not
much. Yeah. And we do have validators on Osmosis, on Atom, on Evmos, on Juno, on Dig, on Comdex, on eMoney. But honestly, like our ranking is so low that we just like barely break even. Like we're trying to also figure out like how do you get paid for doing this stuff, because we feel like we're kind of like a marketing launch pad. I guess that's what we feel like our future is, and we just got to figure out a way to monetizing it better.
I've seen this issue in the Cardano space when I was a Cardano maxi last week, where a lot of the stake pool operators, there's just a handful which are really making like a pile of cash. Some are making 50 or 60K a month, and they do a lot of things. They do charity. They say they do charity, so they donate some of the fees in charity. Yeah. They do educational stuff. They do outreach. They're on the Cardano committees for like different VC things, like their own decentralized VC fund, and then their own, just their community, right?
Yeah.
And they're just kind of well-known. But also they got in really early. So I was in one Cardano whale room. It was a bunch of Germans who are really old people, and they're all super left-wing. So Cardano has this weird thing where a lot of the people who joined Cardano are like Bernie Sanders supporters, even though Charles Hoskinson is a self-admitted libertarian. it's a bunch of, yeah, so obviously they're very loyal to the stake pool operator. So as long as the stake pool operator says he's donating some of the money to charity.
Yeah.
And they're not going to sell, you know, they're old. So obviously they've done pretty well for themselves. I think to get that demographic is either luck or just getting into the right rooms. You have to, in Cosmos, you have to get them to move to you though. So that's the difference.
Yeah.
It wasn't like additional money coming in. Right. So how do you do that? I would say, you know, the problem with spaces is that the people who are going into spaces are just looking for, why is it people go to air shows, Eric? It's because they want to see the planes crash, not fly up in the sky.
Well, I guess people might be enjoying what's happening today with Osmosis then. So
what do you
hear
mean?
What happened? They halted the chain.
Why?
I think there was a bug where people could print money from the liquidity pool. So people were just like taking out however much they wanted. So they had to do an emergency halt. And it looks like they've patched it already, but they still haven't. I don't think it's gone live back yet. So
I mean, a lot of these chains are just very poorly managed, man. I mean, I was in a ZK rollup space 20 minutes ago for Harmony's ZK rollup. And it's like a Kenyan dude and a Chinese person. And they run their ZK rollup section. And they don't really seem to know what they're talking about, because every single question that was asked, they were like, well, you know, math is important. We know a lot about math. Just a lot of fakes. Cosmos has a lot of problems. That's why I've always been against these like subnets within Cosmos, these EVM compatible subnets, to try and like basically get liquidity and divert it into their direction.
Yeah.
They're just really bad teams. When you ask them very basic programming questions, they don't know what to answer. I'll give you some examples. I was interrogating one project 3 minutes ago before I got kicked off their space. It was a DEX on Harmony called Hermes. And I asked them, why is it that you're using the graph to integrate your API for APY, you know, returns? Why don't you just use a contract and just connect it with an API tracker? They're like, well, you know what? The graph is really good. And we like the team of the graph. I'm like, what? The graph team is really good. I'm like, that doesn't have any. Dude, the graph goes down all the time. You guys have not integrated it correctly. Dude, if those subnets fuck up, your API is going to be fucked up. And then people are going to lose money. It's like, oh, but yeah, but they're working really hard on this problem. So, yeah, it's scary, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I guess you have to kind of do your research on the team as well, huh? So do you think it would just be better to have all the devs working on like one project then?
Well, they were Terra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because all the Terra projects were in a sense in the same direction, right? The difference with the Cosmos subnets is that they start replicating themselves, right? Like, it's a subnet DEX, but there's another subnet DEX. In Terra, there weren't that many DEXs. There was Astroport, there was the wallet, there was like one or two other DEXs, a couple AMMs, Lavana, Arbitrage, Leverage, Mars, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, right now, I don't feel like there's that many DEXs in Cosmos, but I feel like they're definitely coming. Like, you have, obviously, Osmosis, which is, like, their number one. You have JunoSwap, which just started actually, like, paying out actual rewards. You have Cree, Crescent. I'm trying to think. I guess we have...
May I ask, though, do you feel sometimes the reason why so many DEXs fail in a smaller chain like Cosmos is because the fees are so low, it's like open season to get fucked? Like, anyone sets up shop and just does a lot of marketing, but they themselves aren't that good at the job of building a DEX.
I don't know, maybe, but I feel like I just don't know any better. I feel like the Osmosis team does know what they're doing, except for this whole... You know,
it's a pretty bad mistake.
This bug that should have never happened, that does make you take pause and like make you wonder if they just rushed to actually make it, you know, go live. And I don't know.
When you have five devs looking over the same code, I don't know. It's pretty weird.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, you do have to stop drinking the Kool-Aid sometimes and start questioning stuff. And
so Ethereum had Aave, it had. Yeah. Balancer, it had Uniswap, it had SushiSwap. I mean, we're talking about, you know, and Avalanche just brought them over. They didn't even try and create their own to an extent. They have Trader Joe's, but they didn't really try and replicate it through their own ecosystem. They just kind of bridged it and brought it over, bribed them to come over. You can't really do that with IBC compatible stuff. It's a bit different, but I guess the question is, like, sure, there's an iterative process of evolution whereby new DEXs fail, and then the ones that survive long-term grow stronger. But to my knowledge, SushiSwap never had these issues in its early phases.
I thought SushiSwap had, like, I don't know what the issue was, but, like, the sushi chef, like, did chef something. Nomich? Yeah, like he
was the CTO of Band Protocol. I know him personally.
He left. Didn't something happen where like everyone was upset because it seemed like it was a rug pull or something? And so
he sold his tokens and left. I think because the problem with Sushi was the tokenomics. I mean, I know him personally.
It was just a copy of Uniswap, wasn't it?
Yes, but the incentive mechanisms and tokenomics were different. So a uni does the fees and then that's distributed and it has a treasury, which is fucking massive right now. It's like $300 million. Sushi doesn't really do that. It does distribute it. It's basically distributions of the launch pad and the toolboxes and things like this. And then, of course, a uni sells code, right? Sushi does not. Yeah. It's open source. It's fully open source. Every single update is open source. Uniswap only open sources the 9-month-old version. The team of Sushi is decentralized in the sense that you can be elected to be the CTO. Uniswap, that's obviously not true. V3 Uniswap is much more centralized because remember the Justice Department came after them for their token. And so they had to create like more safeguards regarding whales, you know, using it, who they were and things like that. They had add forensics teams. Sushi didn't do that. So yeah, I understand like there were some differences now. I guess in the beginning it wasn't so many differences, but certainly it's like their token price is completely different too. I mean, Sushi is like 10x smaller in market cap than Uni. So
yeah. And so did what'd you say his name was? Chef Name? What was his
name?
Did he like he ended up giving like the keys or something to the guy from FTX, didn't he? Like I remember reading something like that where like the guy from FTX like was in charge of SushiSwap and he was the one that was gonna make sure that it got like it became truly decentralized or whatever. I don't remember. I just remember reading something like that.
I just
that,
want to
like,
say for the record, this guy, he works in a building across the building called Central Embassy in Bangkok. He goes to work every day at a office above the Singaporean version of WeWork. And he comes from a very rich family himself.
Okay.
In Thailand, the way it works is the really successful people who got PhDs or got graduate degrees in the US, they were sponsored by the government, but to get that sponsorship required years of tutoring, private tutoring that costs a lot of money to do well in all the exams from high school into college and then so on, right? And also the reference letters from important people in the country help. So he, from his perspective, he doesn't really need the money and he didn't really want to deal with the community. So he just sold it. And you know what? He was right because ETH tokens, which he sold it for, are worth a lot more right now than Sushi tokens.
Yeah.
This is in an era where like rug pulls for what was considered to be the second largest DEX were not well known.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. So.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, Band Protocol isn't doing that well either. I don't think he has many Band Protocol tokens. But whatever, you know, that Chainlink has a very weird. Well, I support Chainlink. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty involved in the ecosystem there. I do a lot of events for Chainlink, for example.
Yeah.
But if you work with Chainlink and Band, you get fucked on your Chainlink price later on. So that's why they have 95% market share.
Man. And yeah, because I remember like. Everyone used to say like Band Protocol was going to be like the Oracle for Cosmos. And now it's just like, you know, I think people were scared of that. And so it's been all Chainlink.
Yeah. If you use Band, the Chainlink guy who's going to come and give you a good price for your feed, your VRF, blah, 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 is going to be like, oh, you use Band. Because it's kind of a monopoly. There are no real oracles for proof of reserve across chains right now. It's just kind of like Chainlink. So it's going to go from 0.005 cents, which is what I pay, to like 0.01 cents per call.
Interesting.
And maybe they are, you know, sometimes my invoices, I just kind of forget to pay them because of the way it works is I can send you one of the Chainlink contracts. No, I'm serious. I am more than happy to send you one of my Chainlink contracts, which is unsigned. So you can see how it works. They send you an invoice every 30 days. And sometimes I'm just super busy. I forgot to pay my internet bill. And I don't have an internet at home right now. I have to use my phone. I just kind of forgot. I mean, I'm just forgot. Sometimes I don't pay my Chainlink invoice and nothing happens. They send me and say, hey, do you mind paying your... Dude, my Chainlink group right now, I have 11 core team members in that group just randomly answering questions whenever I want. They're a great team. They're great people. But if you fuck them by using Band Protocol, that Telegram group will be closed down tomorrow. They're very hard on this, man. Like, they won't do a single event with any project that has ever used Band Protocol before. Like, they've canceled events the day before just when they found out that they'd used Band Protocol. So, you know, that's what it is. And you know what? Chainlink marketing is pretty effective. I mean, you get a lot of stuff. A lot of projects use Chainlink. So if you need funding, if you need something, if you want an integration, if you need to connect, you can't fucking find their email online. You can ask the Chainlink team and they will ask the other guy who works with Chainlink to make an introduction. That's really useful.
Maybe you should ask Chainlink to sponsor you. You're doing a good job of selling them right now.
Well, I I don't know. I mean, I do events for them. Because I'm very grateful, because they've been very helpful to me for the last 2 years when I was building my projects. And they gave me good prices.
Like, every time I hear people like want to bash on Chainlink, is just because they say it's like kind of like centralized.
It is.
But you know, like, if they're doing a good job, and I think it's okay. I don't know.
I think this whole decentralization mantra has gone, it's made people's brains turn into poo-poo. Gay porn poo-poo. So whatever they say is, we need a decentralized version of Upwork. We need a decentralized version of Uber. We need a decentralized version of your mom. We should have 10 people elected to run a train into your mom. That's where the logic goes, right? And basically, it's chaos. I work for one of the Harmony DAOs. I was in one of the Harmony DAO events last night. So it was all the DAOs together. Complete, total fucking chaos. Everyone accusing each other for... one of the questions was, should the forums be moderated in a decentralized fashion, or should the core team moderate it? Half the DAOs were accusing the other half of the DAOs of fascism. The other half of the DAOs accused them for making them feel uncomfortable, not creating a safe space. This is what happens when the core team is weak. So when the core teams are weak, they don't want anything to do with the project. They're trying to distance themselves from the project. They basically run to this decentralization thing. Or if someone is trying to create a marketing gimmick, they say it's decentralized. For example, Alpha Finance, which is also a type project like Band Protocol, they changed their name to Alpha DAO Launchpads, or Alpha DAO Ventures is the name, I think. They add DAO to your name, relaunch, make more money.
Yeah, keep hearing that.
If you create a decentralized Upwork, it does not mean it's a better Upwork. If you create a decentralized Upwork, the fees don't go down. The service and value to the end user does not go up. It just means there's a lot more people involved who don't have much power to do anything. What do you think, Eric?
I'm chasing around my daughter trying to get her dressed.
You know, when I was chasing around my daughter, I yelled out at her. It's like, do you want to... what was I saying? Actually, they don't listen to you anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Do you believe in DAOs, Lisi? No, she says she doesn't.
I remember there was one who... let's not talk about it. So, gay porn. Who in this room likes gay porn? I'm going to start inviting people up now.
Who besides Jimmy does?
So it seems like some people are listening, but we're not getting a lot of traction in this space.
That's because we're not focusing on Cosmos or SafeMoon.
Okay, Cosmos, man. Well, Cosmos, I mean, it's the OG project, but just so disappointing. The ecosystem is just so incredibly disappointing. And yet, it always is. It always is with these smaller chain projects. Everyone hypes up, oh, we need this next DEX. And the DEX just isn't that good, right? The core team even helps them a lot. They do calls with them. They give them money. They give them introductions to VCs. And in the end, it doesn't work out. And it's a sad thing, you know? I mean, Avalanche is so incredibly lucky that Trader Joe worked so well. I feel lucky is the correct word there. Lucky. Unfortunately, a lot of DEXs have failed in different projects. For example, Waves' DEX sucks ass, and yet it's controlled by the core team. You know, the liquidity is controlled by the core team. There's a lot of DEXs out there that just suck ass. And so what just happened is the core team has taken control of them. They own almost all the liquidity and they basically make all the decisions. And you know what? They actually work better most of the time, too. But yeah, for example, Cardano's DEXs suck ass, too. So that's an example.
What do they have? Sunday Swap and what else?
Sunday Swap. I think Meme Swap is the name. And then there's a couple coming out, Liquid. And then there's a Meld. And then there's a few others. They have a few DEXs now. But Stax has a DEX, right? Stax. Okay, let's talk about Stax. Stacks has a DEX called Alex. And I was in a meeting a year and a half ago where the Alex team was asking for funding $2 million for a $30 million valuation. And there are three people, both, all three of them left JP Morgan. They were really senior in JP Morgan. They left to go into Web3 DeFi on Stacks. And I just thought to myself, these are the dumbest fucking people I've ever met in my life. They think they're going to make a lot of money. They don't realize the world of pain they're in. I said to the girl who's in charge of it, it's like, do you realize you're about to get into a world of pain? She did not realize that, no. So, anyway, Larry, what do you want to know?
Hey, Jimmy, I just wanted to come up and hear your opinions on a DEX like DeFi Kingdoms, because I know you were talking in some of the Harmony DAOs.
Yeah, and I'm Hermes, DeFi Kingdoms. There's Viper DAO, there's DeFi Kingdoms, there's one other, I think, I can't, Sonic Swap is there, and then there's, that's about it, I think that is it.
Yeah, I was interested in DeFi Kingdoms because a lot of these DEXs like don't make any money. They just pay out all their LPs through like.
Okay, so let's discuss the issue of tokenomics first. Let's discuss three issues, and I can send you a graph because I had to do some research on this for a VC that was inquiring about something like it. their user numbers are consistent at 10,000. Their liquidity and their TVL has dropped precipitously, but it's still averages above TVL for most DEXs on similar size chains. Their token price has crashed. So their token price has crashed less than a game, more than most other DEXs. Most other first DEXs, major DEXs on other chains. So for example, Trader Joe's token has crashed less than DeFi's Kingdoms token, considering that they're an altcoin chain. Major DEX, right? The DEX, right? But DeFi Kingdoms token has crashed far, far, far less than SLP token on Axie or Crypto Blades' skill token and so on and so forth, right? So the question is, does the added utility of their game improve tokenomics long term? My answer is, their tokenomics suck balls. Larry, do you know what that means? Suck balls?
Yes. So I've been experiencing it for the past 6 months, so I know.
Okay, so there are two aspects of sucking large, hairy balls in your mouth. So it looks like you're a dinosaur, so I don't know how hairy your balls are, but imagine you stuff your balls from a T-Rex into a platypus. That's the size of how much you'd be sucking. They don't just mint tons of so they say they don't. If you look at their tokenomic paper, their actual white paper, they have 700 million DeFi Kingdom tokens in available, and then I think 200-300 million in circulation. 40 million I think was pre-minted to cover the developer team. However, there's a lot of evidence that they simply mint tokens anyway. And it's just a hyperinflationary project, right? It started at 800%, went down to 300%. What's the APR right now? 250, Larry?
It's in the hundreds. Yeah. Well, actually, on the new expansion crystal, yeah, it's still like above 300. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a highly inflationary thing that they say. If you had asked them, it is not, because it's the issue of the circulating supply coming into action. Because they have a limited ceiling of total tokens, right? And they also say if we get to 1 billion, it means that with 700 million in total supply, but not in circulation fully, that you can't have a project with less than a billion. No, you can't have a project with you know, less than 200 million because the token price would be too high. People, you know, they want to see it get to $1, right? So they have a lot of weird arguments. So beyond the issue of inflation from their tokenomics, the second issue is lockup periods. I have been vehemently against lockup periods. Larry, do you know why lockup periods suck ass?
They kind of make you hold the bag, just get stuck holding it.
While yeah. So, do you like sucking balls, Larry?
Not too often.
Okay. So lockups are like sucking balls because you have to suck the balls, hairy in the mouth, deep, like roots in a tree, roots into the water into the wells into the ground into the core. That's how deep those balls go in your mouth. And lockups, what they do is they basically, as you say, create a disincentive for real liquidity because everyone dumps at the same time. But more importantly, their issue is that liquidity pools cannibalize themselves, right? They have a series of liquidity pools they had to remove over time. So you came in later in the project. I saw it early on in August last year. They had a lot of liquidity pools that had almost no liquidity. So people were moving around the liquidity, basically sucking dry liquidity from different pools until they consolidated their liquidity around the main pool, which is at the time UST 1 and basically all the jewel pools for all the major tokens. And everything else got fucked, got raped. Got fucked. Right? So that's bad because cannibalizing liquidity can lead to flash loan attacks, can lead to just, you know, pushing the price of Jewel high, selling the underlying pair token. And then once the price of Jewel goes down because they dump the underlying pair token and it crashes hard, then they buy the Jewel cheaply. And then they buy the Jewel cheaply. They pair it with another token. And then once it rises again, because they're pushing it, because they're pushing the liquidity, they then dump Jewel token, and then they just rinse and repeat over and over again, Larry. You know what that means?
Yep, I gotcha. So pretty much you're saying I should just cut my losses where I'm at now?
It is worth currently, I believe, $50 or $60 million, correct?
I gotta check.
So anyway, do you only have like $1,000, because you seem like a poor guy with no friends. Do you only have $1,000 invested in DeFi Kingdoms?
Yeah, I had 6,000 that's worth like less than 1,000 now. So I'm not really, I'm pretty much thinking just leave it and like no point to salvage anything.
Right. So let's qualify. You're a young guy who's trying to become richer in life. Understand this, young man. There is no such thing as making money easily. You just become less poor more slowly. You can invest a portion of your portfolio into something like DeFi Kingdoms with the assumption that in the next bull run, it becomes a major, major kind of project. This is based on two assumptions. One is that Harmony survives, and the second one is that it competes on Avalanche and is able to be successful, that there are going to be no copycats that will be more successful than DeFi Kingdoms, right? Where do you put your $1,000? How do you cut your losses? I think the answer to that is twofold. Firstly, DeFi Kingdoms is still far ahead of the other DEXs, right? The other DEXs on Harmony suck ass, right? Like Viper Swap is not good. It doesn't have a lot of liquidity. DeFi Kingdoms has a lot of liquidity. I mean, it's a very weird thing, man. Their token price is horrible, but their liquidity is the same as successful DEXs on other chains. Like on Ethereum, for example, it has a ton of liquidity. It's a pretty insane thing. It has BSC level liquidity going on in DeFi Kingdoms. So I would argue with a DEX like that, maybe holding the native token isn't important, right? It might be better to just lock up liquidity on the non-native token, like OneCoin, and just get rewards over time and accrue that for the next 5 years. If you believe that DeFi Kingdoms will be going places. But if you have a bag of Jewel tokens, and you can see there's a big difference between the two. If you have a bag of Jewel tokens that you've locked up in their bank, you know, they have that bank section in the world map, Larry?
Yep.
There's a big difference between that and what I'm talking about. I do not recommend that. So I don't know what you're
doing. Yeah, I wasn't that early to the project, so I don't have like a huge locked balance or anything, thankfully. So it's mostly liquid.
Difra has the same kind of mechanics, but like much worse. Really a very bad project. Difra is a really, 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 really bad project in so many ways. Just a complete copycat. No game is ever going to come out. it should be said, DeFi Kingdoms can't really make a game either, Larry. You realize that, right?
It's not a game at all.
It will never be able to make a game in the future, though. Yeah, but it will never be able to make a game in the future, no matter what they say. They say that they will make one, but it's impossible. The reason why it's impossible is because the NFTs that have been invested in, so much money has been invested in, they cannot be turned into a game. The mechanics are all fucked up, man. You know, would you turn something like that into a game where you're going from play to earn, which essentially the quests are, to something where people are actually making money and risking it? It's impossible. It's not possible. You know,
do you think anyone else like Strange Clan will be able to accomplish this if they actually build like a good AAA game first before focusing on the token?
I'm against this. Okay, Larry, you seem like a young man, 22 years old and poor, living in his mom's basement. Maybe you're gay and you like other men, so therefore you're not going to get married and you're not going to spend a lot of money on kids like Eric does, which is a good thing, Larry. I respect that. One of the problems of making a game first is that you have to constantly generate expensive content to maintain the user base, and your focus is first on the user base rather than the focus of the metric of TVL. You see, there's a big difference between the two. DeFi Kingdom was right by focusing on the DeFi application first because it made them a more sustainable project. They were able to basically buy time for the first 6 months of their project by selling portions of their circulating supply as a DeFi project with no expensive game content, because game content cannot be monetized. But DeFi tokens can, right? Liquidity can be monetized. It's literally the definition of monetization, right? I think all these games being built on Harmony are all going to be complete failures, are going to suck massive ass. Game tokens have all dropped 90%, 95% easily, have no real value, zero fucking utility at all. Name me a single game token that has any real utility. Go ahead, Larry, go. Do it.
None.
Well, these games, I would say yeah. in a bull market, though, like, you can definitely speculate on these things. Like, Axie, like, was incredible last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's true. But that was different. Axie had its own blockchain, its own wallet. It's actually a security. You could do options trading on it. Axie's actually not the game token. SLP token's actually the game token, Larry. Just FYI. Yep. So Axie allows, it's a governance token, actually. It's not a reward token. So if you turn your game into a blockchain and add a wallet that gets hacked by North Korea, yes. Then yes. But none of those games in Harmony are going to be doing anything like that. Plus, you can't create your own subnets in Harmony or buy your own shards. So they're going to make very expensive content that is not easily monetizable for a very long time. And the theory is, in the bull market, that you can monetize it through a bull market. Axie did not do that, Larry. Axie was consistently monetizing itself through those NFT sales on their marketplace. Right? It did not have to even wait for a bull run. The Axie token did really well in the bull run. Right? But the SLP token it enabled them to basically fund themselves as well. The problem is that those games, their reward token has no connection to any governance token that has guidance to do something more than it will be doing, right? It's not like those games are going to be saying, oh, we're going to create our own blockchain and world wallet. It's 2022, dude. You're 4 years too late for that shit. What do you think, Larry?
No, I agree with what a lot of you're saying, and I'm happy. The other day I sold my Andromedaverse egg, and I had like some other game projects, NFT projects I just parted ways with. And yeah, I don't think a lot of these are going to last. But I'm going to keep with my DeFi Kingdoms bag because the team, from what I have seen,
the team is very good.
Developing. So I'm just gonna bet on them.
They are open source as well. I should mention they are pretty transparent.
100%, yeah.
Dreamer, he's not a dev himself, I believe, but at least he seems like a.
Yeah, he was like a VP at a bank. So
I think he was a VP at Google, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, aside from like GameFi projects, what do you think of, I just got a nice allocation to Optimism. I would love to hear your opinion on some of the L2s and how they play a role.
For a 22-year-old, you seem to be doing a lot of stuff. Are you washing drug money?
No, dude, I work from home, so I just like spend all my time in crypto.
Okay. What do you do? Do you sell gay porn videos from home?
No.
Because you can make a lot of money in that. You're a data scientist. Okay.
Yep.
First off, you're making 80K a year. Be careful. Be careful running into all these things. It's good to diversify your portfolio.
I'm a Bitcoin maxi at heart, so I just like to play around.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it should be said that if my portfolio had been only in Bitcoin, it would have been fine. It was not only in Bitcoin, it was not fine. For Optimism, I think one of the problems Optimism has is like why people need it. It's a very modular version of a ZK rollup, but there's like a lot of questions as to who's going to implement it. I mean, Optimism is trying right now. Binance is trying to implement Optimism on its own chain because they do have very high fees now. Binance, it went from 2 years ago that almost they were considered to be very low fees to now having very high fees. It's very funny how that worked, right? When you have like Harmony or Solana or whatever with like sub 1 cent fees, and Binance has 40 cent fees for the BEP20, they clearly need optimistic rollups, right? I think the question is, if they even implement optimistic rollups, how does that really help the Optimism price, token price, Larry?
Yeah, it doesn't really seem to kind of capture any of that value. It just seems mostly like a governance token.
And no, it's okay. I mean, there are a lot of successful projects where that happened, like Aave. If you use Aave, Aave token doesn't really do very much. Chainlink token, when you buy it, you're literally buying it so that the team can sell it to fund Chainlink, right? Curve is a very different thing. It's a very important token. Because if you have enough Curve tokens in a pool, you can vote to add new assets in. And if you know which assets are going to come in, then you can buy that asset. And obviously, with Curve being so huge, you know that you can pump up a token that's quite small. Very different situation. With Optimism, I would say it's a good purchase. But at the same time, with the merge, I would argue that there are a lot of other ZK rollup solutions out there. You may just not be aware of them. Optimism just happens to be the most famous one.
Yeah, I mostly am just interested in it because they gave me a free airdrop, but I know there's a lot more traction on like Arbitrum, and I know people are more excited for like ZK Sync and stuff, so I do need to look more into them. I don't even know.
So Arbitrum, to my knowledge, will never release a token, and that's what
Optimism... You say Arbitrum?
Yeah, Arbitrum has not released a token.
Yes, yeah, they have not yet.
And they will never probably release a token.
You think they will never? Wow, okay.
They don't really need to.
Yeah, I think there's more traction on Arbitrum right now, and they didn't even have to do an airdrop, so that kind of just goes to show you that people are more interested in using their solution.
I mean, if they make 20 cents from each transaction, and there's a million transactions in a day, that's not that bad, dude. Like, they can definitely cover their tech stack costs with that. Like, they probably know what their minimum number of transactions... And this is Ethereum we're talking about. I wouldn't be surprised if they're making money right now just from the transactions alone. They have a super small team, dude. They have, like, a team of, like, 12 devs. So they're probably rolling in the money right now, Larry.
How does Arbitrum and Optimism compare to Metis? Do they use different...
They do. They're very different. They do. Okay. They use a very different Merkle chain, Merkle tree base. The mathematics are different. The implementation is different. The tech stack is different. The teams are, in terms of size, is different. Optimism has a much bigger team. Why? Because they're trying to implement their solution on other chains too.
What do you envision in like, I don't know, like a year or two? What is ETH going to even look like? Is anyone even going to be like on layer one? Or is it just going
to
be all these?
You shouldn't really
like
need to be on a layer one. I really hate this whole layer one thing. Near Protocol is not a layer one solution. It's a base layer one solution, but Aurora is the real solution. Aurora is where the action is. Near is simply like Polkadot. You can build on top of it.
And Aurora is the EVM that just sits on
it? Yes, it is, yeah. I mean, when people say, oh, I love Near Protocol, it's like, get fucked, dude. You can suck my ball sack.
I've never used it. I've just heard Aurora is like super difficult to like even get to. Like, it's not easily accessible. I don't know how true that is.
What does that mean? We mean like
a girl? I don't, just in terms meter? Of like getting tokens on Aurora, like bridging over. I haven't gone through the process.
Bridging over. They have a wallet. They have Aurora tokens.
Okay, so you can just bridge from like ETH layer one over to Aurora.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. Who are these people?
I don't even know. Just hearing things on Twitter.
Well, you know, people on Twitter are not, they're not scholars.
Are you particularly bullish on Near? Because I, from the outside, I've just heard it's like a heavily VC project, and it kind of just came up out of nowhere.
Well, I'm actually building a project on Near.
Okay, interesting.
Using Aurora.
And you're doing this because of like what Near offers for interoperability or what's
because of money.
Okay, just purely financial reasons.
It is easier to get funding if you're going to build on Near. If I was going to say I'm going to build on Osmosis, everyone would laugh at me. Or Cosmos. You know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
No one builds on Cosmos who gets VC funding. It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's something very interesting how like everyone in the Cosmos really looks down upon that.
What?
Like getting any sort of type of VC funding is like really shunned upon in the Cosmos, which I think is really interesting.
That's funny. There's a lot of poor people out there, I mean, who just like other people being poor. What do you think about being poor?
I think it's necessary to, you know, kind of someone build the hunger in someone and give them that drive to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who stay poor and complain are the worst.
Yeah, but why are Cosmos people? Why do they look down upon money?
I think a lot of people like to kind of like take the. I don't know, just like signal that they are like decentralization is important to them and like not having VCs. But then no one really wants to acknowledge that we're all here to just make money. So I think that's one thing.
Cosmos is a weird chain, dude. They are the OG chain of crypto in so many ways, and yet they never monetized it until recently. Maybe they're just resentful for their bad business practices. All they had to do was sell licenses of old code, but they refuse to do it.
Do you hold any Cosmos coins like long term? Are you interested in any of these projects?
No, I don't hold much crypto nowadays. Okay. I get paid in crypto. I mean, I don't really think of it as a important speculative asset. You know, my portfolio has gone down like 70%, but it's not really the issue. It's like it's not a real thing, to be honest. It's like investing in a penny stock. You know, it could be a good project, but their tokenomics suck ass, like DeFi Kingdoms. Dude, their token has gone down 95% in value. And yet the project has gotten stronger.
So one thing, I don't know how many Cosmos community members there are in here, but one thing about the community is a lot of these people are like bag holders. So when they get like a large airdrop for like a new Cosmos project, they'll just hold on to it forever. So I feel like there are a lot of opportunities to make money in the Cosmos ecosystem. Just because like there aren't that many, like if people will get a new altcoin and they won't sell it. So there's definitely money to be made.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who just complained that he got a Juno airdrop and it's worth 25% less now because Juno's price has crashed. And he's very sad because he needed the money to pay for his bills. When you're in a position like that, you're fucking up your life.
Yeah, what do you think of this? What happened on Osmosis this morning? That was something to wake up to. Kind of like an oversight.
I would always go in the rooms and troll them, and if fucking Eric was back in this room, he left. He would acknowledge that. I go into all the rooms, I troll them for being an awful team, and they are. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I remember. I followed your account because you came into a shade protocol space.
Yeah,
And you started giving him, shit about their PEG research, which it was hilarious. Just asking the questions that nobody wanted to ask was very entertaining.
Well, you know, if anyone asked me about Terra, I would have told them that, you know, the same kind of things. I mean, fractional stablecoins, there's only a few good ones. There's like a handful. E-money is a really bad stablecoin. For example, the Secret Network stablecoins are awful. You know, so if anyone wants to come in and argue with me, I'm more than happy to argue.
Have you tried out Avamos? Because I've been like done a couple transactions on the chain, and it is like extremely, extremely slow. So I was pretty upset to see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, some chains are just really bad. It's like Solana is really bad. Very bad. I mean, I was in an ICP hackathon 2-3 days ago. It's just really bad, dude. It's just the whole ecosystem is basically bribed to be involved. It's a very sad thing. And their token has crashed. You know? It's a sad thing. You don't realize the sad state of most of these chains. The people actually building on them are just not good developers, and they're just doing it because of whatever, some stupid reason. Like, the saddest chain I've ever looked at was Bitcoin Cash. They have their own smart contracts too.
Dude, I can only imagine like how sad that would be to like get introduced into crypto in the past couple years, and then like think that Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin.
It was big back in the day, though.
Imagine like that's the real Bitcoin. That would hurt so bad.
It was big. It was big like 5 years ago. You had to do all your transactions on exchanges using Bitcoin Cash because the Bitcoin network was really bad back then. But yeah, they have this thing called Smart Bitcoin, Smart BCH, and it's just really bad, man. And I met a guy who's building on it. He has no idea what he's doing, and I think he's just washing mafia money.
Do you think smart contracts like actually have a place on Bitcoin? I know like Stacks is trying to do something, but it just seems like
yeah. So I've criticized Stacks. I've trolled every Stacks room. I've trolled Alex. I've trolled Artodarko, which is their AMM on Stacks. I've trolled them all. I've gotten kicked out from every space. Every Zoom call that they have where I can get in, I start trolling them as well. It is one of the worst chains ever imagined, founded by a complete narcissist. Who has no idea what he's doing, and their projects are run by people who equally don't know. So for example, the people who founded Alex were two people who are from Credit Research and JP Morgan and a quant. So this quant just recently learned how to program. Their liquidity volume last night when I checked was $27,000. Okay. They have their launchpad has made them more money than the volume of liquidity on their DEX. Their chain is slow. Their chain is slower than Bitcoin. Sometimes it takes an hour for transactions to go through, dude. That's fucked up, man. So, fuck. Yeah, I don't. You know, why are people doing this? Why are people trying to build on Bitcoin? I don't really get it. It doesn't. Bitcoiners don't want anyone to be building on Bitcoin in terms of smart contracts. They say they don't need it, right? They say that you can do all those things on Bitcoin that you need to do. What they mean by that is they don't think that you need an on-chain DEX. You can just use, you don't need to swap to any other token. The vast majority of tokens being swapped on Stacks are wrapped versions of other non-Bitcoin tokens. The theory about Stacks is they're going to unlock the whole Bitcoin thing, right? They have not brought a single Bitcoin whale over to their network. Not a single one. No one wants to use them. Stop. Everyone stop it. Stop hurting people. Stop it. Stop hurting Bitcoin.
Yeah, I love how they keep building and it just does not seem like the Bitcoin community is interested in like touching, changing it at all. They just want their sound money to stay the same.
You know what? They're fine. They don't need Stacks. That's the truth. And it's not just Stacks. There's also another chain called RSK, which does the same thing. It's also equally bad. So, yeah. It's made the founder a lot of money, though. Hugh, what do you want?
I just wanted to ask your thoughts on Filecoin.
Terrible project. Very bad tokenomics. Has to scale IPFS. IPFS, even if it does scale, does not generate them enough volume or revenue to scale the coin. They're lucky because they're the first IPFS project that their token price and their market cap is so high.
So you think it's us?
And now there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition. When they first came out, it wasn't a lot of competition, but now there's a lot of competition.
Do you think I should sell then?
Right. 100% sell it. Buy. Look, for the next bull run, two projects will be important. Projects of sharding and projects with the ability to scale through adding users. So things that have positive network effects. More users equals more ability to basically bring transactions down and still the network doesn't congest.
Are you still in some Zilliqa, but I sold that.
Well, okay, why?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just didn't see the project moving. I think
it's a very scientific thing to say. I don't know.
No, like the management changed. Well, I was holding it as well, and it seemed like there was a lot of turmoil, and it wasn't making much progress. Do you like Zilliqa?
No, not really. They're not even compatible, but they do have sharding. Mm. But the thing is that their shards don't really work that well either. So when I mean sharding, it's like this. Gala games could be very valuable in the future because if their network effect works whereby a lot of games go on top of it and become nodes, it scales the whole network and it reduces fees, but still the network doesn't congest. Like, that's a positive network effect. It's one of the networks where we're adding. I actually, do you know Gala Games had their conference last night? Their whole like yearly conference. Very, it was actually a really good watch. I learned a lot. You know, for example, nodes can store NFTs so that like every node becomes their own like game service. So that if you like are in Minecraft, that Minecraft server is like a node on Gala Games. You can only use your NFTs on that node unless they unlock it to go to another node, right? Like, that's a lot of functionality, right? They have a lot of good stuff going for them.
So what are your bags full of apart from SafeMoon?
I own no SafeMoon. That was satire. I own no Cosmos.
I got that.
Yeah. I own ThorChain. I own, because they have the best devs in crypto right now. I own Gala Games because the guy who created it were actually really experienced, but their token was just really underappreciated. Even though their games kind of suck ass right now, but they're trying to build a network correctly through, as I said before, the validators and the nodes scaling with the users, which is important. Something that a lot of projects like Solana never really thought of. I own Near Protocol and Aurora, you know, for the same reasons I said before, because they have sharding and they're even compatible. I do own some Harmony, but sometimes the core team makes me very sad because the core team seems like they don't know what they're doing some of the time. But technically also work kind of with Harmony, so I really can't say too many bad things. I own, let me just check. I own some Cartesi. Have you heard of Cartesi by any chance?
No.
It's like making different blockchains. No, it makes blockchains Linux compatible. You know, Linux? Which is an important thing, actually. I own some of Radical, which is basically a version of Gitcoin. I own a lot of like smaller projects that are like new Oracle projects, like Parsec. I own a lot of YGG, Guild Games. I like gaming guilds a lot because I think that games are going to be very important in the future in Web3. So I own a lot of Chainlink too, apparently. Looking at my portfolio,
you don't like Bitcoin then?
Chainlink?
No, you don't like Bitcoin.
I own Bitcoin, but that's not really part of my portfolio. That's like a long term hold. That's not something I'd ever sell.
So like,
it's like saying I own property. I own digital property. I own Bitcoin.
Yeah, cool. No, I mean, I get into sound money before I get into Bitcoin. That was, I like gold, and then it kind of led me down the rabbit hole into Bitcoin. I actually bought Bitcoin in 2013, like for the Silk Road, but at the time I never thought about it, like keeping it as an investment.
So, well, you're a Scot, right? So, yeah. You know, you support the S&P.
No, I live in England. I'm a conservative.
You're a Scottish transplant in England who votes Tory.
I don't vote Tory, but like I've actually gave up voting.
You just said that you're conservative.
Yeah, conservative mindset, but I wouldn't vote for them. I favour a kind of.
Who do you vote for?
Well, I'd favour a benevolent dictator like a Gaddafi or something like that. Yeah, okay. That would be my option. I don't like democracy.
So, do you support Bonnie Prince Charlie taking back the throne?
If you can dig him out of the ground and bring him back to life, I'd do it.
So, I am actually a Jacobin. I am part of the Jacobin Party of the UK.
Right.
That's all. What's I have that? To say about that. It's a secret organization to bring back the Jacobin monarchy.
All right, cool, right, I understand, right. So I was going to say, man, like, I've listened to you troll a few people, you're pretty fucking funny, and I wondered, you're obviously quite knowledgeable, so like, why do you spend your time trolling people instead of,
well,
like,
right now, I have to complete a project, but my mind is blank, and I just got a message by one of my investors basically saying that he's going to call me up tomorrow. So right now, I'm supposed to finish a pitch deck for a Chainlink event that's being hosted next week. But like, the two things I just talked about, the project and the pitch deck. Do I really want to do it right now? Followed by, I also have to fucking send some bills over, and I don't want to do that. I have to buy like a couple airline tickets and shit like this. Right. I have to get my fucking debit card and fucking pull that shit out of my fucking drawer and buy all that stuff. And it's going to take me like an hour to fucking book all this stuff. And then, fuck. So I have to like do 5 or 6 hours of work. And to be honest, I just don't want to do it right now. I'm chilling.
No, fair enough, mate. No, but I like you, mate. I like you. You've got a lot of good input.
I don't like you, though.
That's fine, mate. You don't have to like me. It's not a fucking... It's not a competition who likes each other the most. You're quite knowledgeable about a lot of things, aren't you, Jimmy? How the fuck do you know about Scottish politics?
Well...
Like, how the fuck... How did you end up in that rabbit hole? Where are you from? In Canada or America?
American.
Like, so I know fuck all about American politics, really. So how the fuck do you know about Scottish
politics?
Well,
we don't want to know about you either. I mean, why not?
It's random, though. Like, do you get that in the news over there?
I mean, Americans are dumb.
How could you pick my accent to a fucking city as well? That's quite strange.
I know a part of the city. I know a part of Glasgow you're also from, dude. But it's not the point.
Go then.
You're from the part that was usually voting Labour. Now, for some reason, you're conservative.
No. Have you ever been to Scotland?
I might have.
Well, you seem to know a lot anyway. No, cool, mate. Like I said, I like you anyway. You don't have to like me back. It would
Man,
be nice.
This is like the Gordon Ramsay of Cosmos Spaces. Fucking leaving Scotland. He's going to change his accent. He's going to be like Gordon Brown, man. He's going to fuck in 20 years, he's going to sound like an English guy.
I'm half English now. I've lived in England for 7 years.
Man. Okay. Okay. I mean, I think you got to change that accent, dude. You got to start melting back in. You got to start becoming one of them. One of them. One of them.
We accept them. One of us.
Yeah. Do people ever call you Jock?
All the fucking time.
Do you feel sad? Like it's kind of a racial slur?
Nah, I kid them on. It's racist. I always, whenever anyone says anything like that or tries to make fun or mention the fact I'm Scottish, I'll just call them racist. And they usually go on the defensive and say, I'm not racist. And obviously, I'm taking a piss.
Okay. What do you drink? What kind of beer do you drink?
I drink Buckfast, which is a kind of wine made by monks in England. And then
so
you drink
Buckfast in England?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a Chad?
Ned.
Are you a Ned? I apologize. Are you a Ned? Do you wear Ned clothes? Do you wear those stupid polo shirts with the buttons up to the
top?
Not
quite. I used to when I was younger.
Do you have a really tight haircut?
Yeah, I'm going bald now.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to wear a hat and a Bergos jacket and put my socks over my tracksuit bottoms. Yes. I'm working class, mate. Working class, Scott.
Yeah. Well, you seem to like England a lot.
Yeah, I love you. Building stuff for your country. Building some of your.
Are you smoking pot right now?
No, vape. Building some American fighter jets. That's what I do for a living.
Okay, and I mean, working at BAE is important. I respect that.
Yeah, mate, so doing stuff for your armed forces in a roundabout way. Taking the American dollar.
We have to make
dollar.
Sure to blow up more countries. I mean, that's the important stuff.
Got to kill some more kids.
I want those brown people. They didn't deserve to live in the first place.
they should go the same way the otters. We should fucking carpet bomb them.
Yep. That's right. I don't know. Maybe I should actually start doing that work now. Okay, guys. Unless Larry has a question. Larry, do you have another question?
Yeah, I just have one more altcoin that I have a decent holding in, and I want you to shit on and talk some sense to me. Is Akash Network. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
What's it called again?
Akash Network.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, I didn't know if you're familiar with it at all.
No, I've heard of it. I mean, I've never actually attended any of their events, though. Because, I use CoinDAR to attend, like, different events, like Telegram events and Discord events and stuff.
Basically, they're just trying to tackle the problem that, like, all of DeFi, all of crypto is run on AWS. They're just trying to offer an alternative. So I just thought they were a novel solution.
No, I mean, I actually was part of the pilot program by Coinbase when it was rolling out. It's competitor to Infra and AWS. I don't think it was very successful because I haven't heard of Coinbase rolling anything out yet. So, I think that it's complicated. When you get into the Infra business, it's complicated. AWS makes a lot of money, but it's because it has scale. They're really getting into a very competitive market. You know that, Larry. Like, definitely they're trying to say we're, like, crypto-native, bringing crypto-native cloud computing to, you know, crypto. But does it make... So whenever I hear these arguments, does it mean it's a better cloud computing option, though? Does it add more value to the end user? Is it cheaper?
They do have, like, cheaper fees, but they don't offer the same solution,
you know,
as AWS.
But the thing is, AWS will give you a two-year credit, and then, you know, after that, you have to pay. AWS has really flexible terms. If you ever worked with AWS, you would know that. They're a pretty flexible team. They offer you, like, free credits to get your employees to finish the AWS certificates, which are worth a lot of money, too. Like, you know, for the employees, right? You know, they can work at other places with these certificates. Like it's an ecosystem there. It's like a lot. It's very meaningful.
Yeah, I don't think Akash could compete with the likes of AWS and Google Cloud for businesses and actual like industry. But I think more so like inside of crypto projects that are actually take decentralization seriously. That might be pretty useful.
I mean, well, I guess it's a play on the scalability of different nodes moving away from using Infra. I would ask you should look at like projects like Chainstack and other things like that, which are trying to basically run anchor versions of nodes where you can basically run any node on top of them.
Is that like Pocket Network at all?
Yeah, it's similar. I think the issue is that they have Akash has a competitor because if you just want to run a node, you just go to a node rental service, you know? You know what I mean? You wouldn't just create your own cloud database to start operating different nodes. I mean, I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea. I wouldn't sell it, though. I wouldn't sell it because it's an idea that might have a lot of traction in the future. And looking at its token price, okay, the token price is taking a pretty bad hit. I mean, obviously everything has in this market, but it's not so bad. I mean, it's back down to 1 billion. It's still at its IPO price.
Yeah, the price is like exactly at the IPO price. And I think Greg Asori, the founder of it, he has talked initially to like some of the reason the price like ran up so aggressively right off the bat is because there was like super low liquidity and it was the only place to get it was on Osmosis and they had like incentivized the pool there. So the price like ran up right off the bat, but now that it's come back down,
I would say SushiSwap and other things like that, their prices are all below their IDO price or ICO price now.
Okay. So, all right. So that is good to see that.
Yeah, I would keep it. It seems like I've been thinking about this whole issue of like how to move away from Infer for a while. It's a hard thing to, you know, best of luck to them. I hope they're successful. So, you know,
thank you.
If they have positive network effects, they certainly meet that criteria. If there are more users, definitely users would feel more comfortable not just using AWS in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just been watching all of their analytics on like how many deployments are going on in their network, and all of those charts numbers are going up. So that's good to see that those numbers are still climbing.
Yeah. I mean, certainly right now, a lot of node operators are losing a lot of money. And so they're basically trying to move to find cheaper solutions. AWS is kind of expensive, but they do, you know, as I said before, they do offer a lot of credits and many other things and blah, 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 blah. And, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. I gotta get back to doing some fiat mining.
Yeah. Sorry.
But Jimmy,
I gotta go back to my work too. I'll see you guys around. And I hate everyone here. You're all utterly worthless. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Jimmy's Cosmos Safe Moon Maxi Space, recorded on Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep listening, head on over to terraspaces.org/donate and show some support. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pump and double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes. And take the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
And impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and tuck everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject. So feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences go, how they draw conclusions and find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the Safe Moon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time. Time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys.
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys, I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, Go to terraspaces.org/donate. Terra Spaces.